You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. For more information, visit studylegalenglish.com. Hello and welcome to the Study Legal English podcast. I'm your host Louise and today we are going to listen to my interview with Rejane Gursky. Rejane is a Brazilian lawyer and she's one of my podcast pro members. In fact, my dear listeners, Rejane is the top podcast pro member. She is, in fact, the only podcast pro member so far to have completed every single pod course on my site. So, of course, there's quite a few pro members who have taken at least some of the courses, but they haven't completed all of them. So in this episode, we talk about Rejane's background, we talk about her experience as a pro member taking the pod courses, we explain what the pod courses are, if you're thinking, what on earth is a pod course, Louise? And as well as that, I recommend to you, my dear listeners, that you listen to the end, because at the end of this episode, we give 12 words and phrases that Rejane has used in the interview with definitions and example sentences, and which you can join in and try to come up with your own examples to practice your English. A quick reminder for members, Podcast Lite and Pro members get access to downloadable and synced transcripts for this episode, and Pro members get access to a quiz from this episode, as well as a vocabulary list. So hi, Rejane.
Hi, Louise. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. So, Rejane, let's get straight into the questions. So can you explain a little bit about yourself? And can you tell us a little bit about why you're learning legal English?
Yeah, sure. So for starters, I am a fully qualified lawyer in São Paulo City, Brazil. So my native language is Portuguese, and I am a student of English as a second language. As a lawyer, I have an active interest in learning legal English, and I'm really keen on the subject to further my career and gain an insight into the English legal system. And I also got my master's degree in law, specializing in notary public law, acting as a consultant for other lawyers, providing them with detailed research, seeking the information they would like to know. Although I have previously worked in litigation as a freelance associate, nowadays I prefer to work outside the courtroom. I'd like to say that I also assist a professor at the Bar Association in São Paulo in legal English course, where I spend a lot of time assisting her work in teaching these legal English courses. This is incredibly valuable for learning legal English. And my main role is preparing the course content for the law courses that are being taught, preparing presentation, providing technical support, researching materials, which I find fascinating because I am learning how to teach as well. And by doing this, two things that I am passionate about have merged, my work and my studies. There's no distinction between working and studying legal English anymore. What I mean by this is opportunities in legal English are growing, such as legal English consultancy and legal translation, which increase my scope in legal English practice.
Interesting, very interesting. So to summarize, or from my understanding, so you're a lawyer in Brazil and you've studied law, you specialized in notary public law, and you did some litigation as well. But nowadays you're working outside the courtroom, as you mentioned, and you're also helping a professor at the Bar Association to develop material for some courses. So that's really, really great. And it's nice that you've been able to merge your two passions, as you say, your work being a lawyer and also your studies of studying legal English. I want to mention something here about the language, because I know that, you know, I've got a lot of Brazilian listeners and Italian students and Spanish listeners. And I just wanted to mention for those listeners that, so avocado in Portuguese, avocato in Italian, and abogado in Spanish. they sound very similar to a word that we have in English, which is advocate, but that's a false friend. So as Khejane quite rightly said, she used the word lawyer, which is the correct word, not advocate. So if there are those of you out there who are just sort of starting to learn legal English, be careful of that false friend that we have there. So Khejane, you mentioned that, you know, you really like studying legal English. It's one of your passions. So why did you become a member of Study Legal English?
I'm glad that you asked that, because this website changed my life, which might sound a bit dramatic, but I think it really did. I have been gaining so much benefit from your course, not only just in learning legal English. It has also given me tools to teach others learning legal English. It's an excellent website to help teachers preparing their lessons as well. And I became a member because it fits in perfectly with my career aims. I'm keen to progress my career. And the certificate after completion of a pod course is a valuable asset that reflects my hard work and dedication to law. So I think it gives me a competitive edge for my CV.
Okay, so that's good to hear. And so you sort of mentioned that, the website changed your life. That's the first time I've heard that, which is very nice to hear. But you mentioned there that it's been quite helpful for you in your journey of learning legal English. And you mentioned there about the certificates for the pod courses. So that's why I wanted to interrupt you there, was because some of the listeners might not know exactly what those certificates are or what the pod courses are. So I just wanted to explain that a little bit.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So for listeners, if you go to my website, studylegalenglish.com, you can find pod courses there. And so what these are, they are podcast episodes on a particular topic, you know, a specific topic that's a similar topic, which you can listen to, and they form these pod courses. So for listeners who are not members of the site, you can just listen to them to hear the podcast episodes. And for pro members, they can access extra resources related to, well, the podcast in general, but also these pod courses. So they get transcripts of the episodes, vocabulary lists, quizzes, and various exercises to test your knowledge of legal English and to help you learn legal English. And then at the end of the pod course, you can take a test and get a certificate. And then you can publish it wherever you want. You can print it and have it. And I always encourage members to share their certificates on LinkedIn. That's Khejane's done that. So well done. Good. And so that's the idea behind the pod courses and certificates. So Khejane, you mentioned that you feel that, like, these gave you a competitive edge, which is good to hear. Could you explain that a bit more?
Yes, definitely. It has contributed to my growth more than I ever imagined. I studied modules that maybe other people haven't had. I worked hard to take the full certificate. I went above and beyond to gain that certificate, and this is something that sets me apart from the others. I put my heart and soul into this course because I have a passion for the law. So That's why I think it gives me a competitive edge. And also, at first glance, the whole website gave me an invaluable insight into legal English, because the content is inspiring and invigorating. I mean, it was exactly what I needed. I believe that the Study Legal English website not only has opened so many doors for me, it has also opened my mind.
Wow. Okay. So that's a very big statement. So Khejane's got lots of nice things to say. So the podcast opened your mind. Great. how has it done that? How did it open your mind?
Okay. I said this in a metaphorical sense, but it's the honest truth. I saw this website as my happy place. It's unique. I found myself engrossed in the course modules. The topics are so interesting, but the fact that it opened my mind has to do with the incredible ideas in your podcast, which includes interviews with native speakers and non-native speakers. And it's quite helpful so that people can listen to other accents and we can improve our ability to listen to accents other than just English and Americans. I mean, we are most used to listen to Americans and English. And I know it's not easy to hear different accents, especially listen to your monologues, Louise, in the podcasts. As your listener, I can affirm that you have the most incredible soothing voice, lovely English accent. I could listen to your voice for hours and hours, but I know, I am aware that part of learning English is to listen to a variety of accents, to adjust to the nature of communicating.
Oh, thanks, Hejane. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's a nice reminder, Louise. And therefore, the interviews with non-native speakers of English gave me the opportunity to get out of my comfort zone by listening to various accents. And also, I learned a lot about different cultures. And it helped me become more aware about their legal system, their culture. Because being more exposed to the materials, resources, the whole content in the Pro Membership helped me to open my mind.
Oh, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I have to say that I do agree with you. I think it's very important to understand a range of different accents. If you're, of course, if you're working in an international environment, if you're learning legal English, it's not just about learning the language, but being able to understand different accents. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And of course, if you don't want to listen to any of the accents, there are a lot of interviews with native speakers too. Mm.
Okay, so another thing I'd like to say is I would advise anyone taking this course to not skip these interviews. It can be challenging at first to comprehend the different accent, but it's worth persevering with them, as I found them a really valuable part of this journey of understanding other cultures and their legal system. I think the power of storytelling is huge. That's the whole point of the podcast interviews. For example, people telling their stories, discussing their experience of legal English. This allows listeners and students not to feel so isolated or alone while learning a language. And this is a beautiful thing. I guess It's all about feeling connected, seeking connection, and your podcast provides that, Louise. It helps the students not to feel so alone, as I said, because there are actually other people out there wanting the same goal, and it's just nice to share the experience. Everyone is in the same boat when it comes to learning a language. Oh, I remember this part, this phrase I learned in the networking module, I think. If my memory serves me correctly.
I think I remember too. So, you made some important points about, that learning a language and listening to the podcast interviews, it's about this storytelling and people sharing their experiences, and that it's important to not feel on your own when you're learning a language. So for listeners who have listened to the podcast for a long time, you'll know that I have a Facebook group that's called the Study Legal English Facebook group. And if you're just listening to this for the first time, if you are on Facebook, come along and join. You can join that group, because of course, you know, in the podcast, absolutely, I want people to be able to share their stories, and somehow that these stories will resonate with you, to know that there are other people who are in the same, as Rajani said, in the same boat as you. But also for those of you who are on social media, you can of course connect with other lawyers there to share your experience as well in the group. So you mentioned about storytelling and that learning a language is part of a story. So what's your story with English? When did you first start studying English and why?
Oh, interesting, because I'm going to talk about something that I never said this before, really, because I usually say that I started studying English because it's important overall to travel, to communicate online watching films, to enhance my work, or even to study abroad. But before starting to study English, I had an interview and everything was fine in Portuguese, my native language. However, unexpectedly, they switched over to English because in my CV I informed them that I had a basic level of English. I performed very badly, and as a consequence, I unfortunately didn't get the job.
Oh dear. Yes, I'm sure there's probably quite a lot of listeners who have had that similar experience. I know that, you know, it's really easy to put on your CV that, you know, you speak English and then you get to the job interview and then you have to have a conversation in English and it's really difficult. So I imagine that must have been a very difficult experience for you. So how did you react?
Oh, well, I cried. I burst into tears. I was sick as a parrot. And in the same week, I decided to enroll on an English course. Due to this bad experience, because that's the way that I like to think, it was a bad experience, not necessarily a failure. Mm-hmm. I was suddenly motivated to start learning English. I realized that without learning a second language, to a certain extent, I was holding myself back. As the saying goes, every cloud has a silver lining. Or it was a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. And learning a language requires humbleness. It's tough, it's beautiful, it's hard. It's a combination of all those things. However, when we accept all of it with an open heart, open arms, it feels liberating, I guess. I'd like to bear in mind that quote, the journey is more important than the destination. I think it's true for all learning. It's especially applicable to learning a language because it is a continuing process. We are constantly improving. After all, you cannot run before you can walk. So this is another important idiom that I learned in one of the first modules, I guess.
Mm. Is it the one you cannot run before you walk?
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, I think you summed up language learning really nicely there. It's tough, it's beautiful, and it's hard. And it really is. I mean, I've certainly experienced in my own language learning that it's so much more than just learning a language. And it's not just difficult when you can't communicate because it's difficult to learn the language, but difficult psychologically to go from, you know, a lot of lawyers listening to this show and yourself, you're an expert in your field, and then you go to where you can't communicate. And it's really, as you mentioned, it requires humbleness. It really does, because you have to be humble to the fact that you're starting over and it's not an easy thing to deal with, absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
So I really liked how you mentioned that this experience that you went through where you went to the, you know, interview and it went really badly, but as you mentioned, it was, you prefer to call it a bad experience, not necessarily a failure. I like how you're seeing this problem or this challenge as an opportunity to grow. So you started learning English, which is great, and legal English. And so is that when you discovered the Study Legal English website? How did you discover it?
Well, first of all, I came across your website when I was searching for legal English courses online. And although a lot of people are interested in the American legal system in my country, I am more interested in the English legal system. I don't know why, but there seems to be more resources for U.S. law. Fortunately, I found your fantastic website with so many resources. I'd say it's a place where I could put into practice both receptive skills and productive skills. By receptive skills, I mean reading and listening, and productive skills is speaking and writing. And I was desperate to find an online course because I was finding it really difficult using legal books for self-studying at the beginning. Some books are not practical and are not related to how lawyers carry out their work. I found the texts very disengaging at the beginning of studying legal English. In my opinion, some texts and articles can be a bit dry at times. You know, they might be very wordy and incomprehensible for non-native speakers of English. I found the area of law interesting, but in some legal texts, there are no interesting cases. It doesn't show you about what happens in real life. It was like gobbledygook to me at the beginning, you know, it might be very complicated to understand. Nevertheless, I continue to read and study this text due to my hunger to learn. So nowadays, I enjoy learning from this book because my reading and understanding of legal English has greatly improved. And this is a direct result of your course, Louise.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, it makes me, very happy that I've been able to help you and hopefully other people out there as well. And when you talk about your experience with these boring texts that are a bit dry, on that topic, you know, and I know that the listeners know because I've talked about it a lot, but that I've been, you know, basically over the past year and a half, 2 years throughout the pandemic, I was co-writing a book with Natasha Costello. And the idea of this book is that it's supposed to be really, really practical. It's got loads of activities, learning legal skills like contract drafting, legal writing, negotiating, networking, and so on. I mean, our concept behind this was that we certainly, as teachers of legal English ourselves, we always try to make our classes as close to reality as possible based on learning skills as well as the legal language. So we try to incorporate lots of activities in there that hopefully should be useful for people. So we've just finished and our editor has said that it's going to take several months for it to be published. But hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, as we say, it should be coming out next year. So,
great.
Yeah.
I remember you said in one of the episodes about you are writing a book with Natasha Costello. So good luck. I really hope that it works out for you both. And for sure, I am excited to read it. I will be your first customer.
Thank you. Yeah. And you mentioned that you did litigation. We've got a chapter on advocacy, the skill of representing people in court. What kind of litigation were you involved in? What did you do?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, I used to work in a litigation. First, I worked in a legal aid agency dealing mostly with family law. Despite the fact that in Brazil, litigation is one of the most popular areas of law that lawyers go for, I prefer transactional work because it's generally less adversarial than litigation. I started practicing litigation. Shortly after that, I decided to work out of court. I felt that litigation was not my favorite area at the time. Honestly, I think litigation is not always the answer. However, it was great to try out different areas of the law, so that I could choose a career that I have a genuine interest in.
Yeah, you mentioned a few points there about sort of the litigation, that yes, you were doing litigation in a legal aid agency. It was good because you got to explore different areas of law, so that was nice. But then actually also you feel like litigation isn't always the answer, like, you know, it's very adversarial, as you mentioned. It's very, people fighting, and certainly in England, ADR, alternative dispute resolution, mediation, arbitration, well, mediation especially, you know, it's encouraged, especially in family law, in, for example, in divorce cases. I think it's even mandatory, even if it's just symbolic parties, they must at least try to attempt to resolve outside of court. So, yeah, but it's nice that you got to experience different areas of law. And so now you're not doing litigation really anymore. But so what's your typical day like? Is there a typical day for you? What sort of typical things do you do?
Well, every day is different. Every client has a specific issue. There isn't really a typical day because the work mostly depends on what the clients need. But Throughout my day, I review documents in order to draft application and written requests to keep in line with current legislation. I also continuously answer my emails throughout the day. It's important to say that historically, Brazil is known to be a country with lots of Italian immigrants. Therefore, I assist clients who are not only in Brazil but also in Italy to rectify documents without filing a lawsuit. It's cheaper and more efficient. So I usually compare documents in order to complete tasks to a high standard in matters involving marriage, divorce, or even requesting citizenship.
So as you were speaking, you mentioned rectification, that you rectify documents. So in English, in the English legal system, rectification, it's a specific thing. So for listeners, you know, rectification, of course, it can mean just in general English, it can mean to make something right, to rectify, to make it correct, to make it right. In legal English, it's a specific process, and it happens when parties to a document, so for example, parties who have signed a lease or a contract, or even if there are documents such as the registration documents of a company or a title deed to property. So these parties or a party to this particular document can apply to the court to make a correction in that document. So, Kejane, is that what you mean here? Is it sort of what you do in Brazil?
I'd say kind of, Luiz. To my knowledge, in Brazil, there are two methods to choose from to rectify a mistake on an official document. One involves going to court, and the other is through an administrative process out of court. This process allows us to rectify some mistakes directly through the registry office. For example, misspellings on birth certificates or marriage certificates. This process is cheaper and quicker than going through court. These mistakes are quite common, so I help clients to rectify their documents to get Italian citizenship. As we know, everything has to align on official documents. Otherwise, he or she might have some problems. Actually, according to my understanding of this law that I mentioned, it's part of the dejudicialization movement, which is an antonym of judicialization. I think the term dejudicialization refers to the process by which the judiciary and the judicial system become less involved in administrative decision-making. You know, I'm fond of that idea. It's one less thing you have to go to the court for. There are other mechanisms to resolve disputes such as ADR. So why not solve the administrative issues out of court? There are no litigants. There's no dispute. It's just one party wanting to correct a mistake in his records. I fully support the judicialization movement because it frees up the judiciary to deal with the cases that can be resolved in another way, rather than clogging up the courts with needless administrative issues. Anyway, it's just my point of view. Sorry, I have to finish about my routine. I could say that I often multitask. I occasionally work part-time on cases regarding notary public or notary office. Another aspect of my work is legal English consultancy and legal English translating, depending on what is required. Another of my tasks is working alongside the professor, planning the tasks for the legal course that I mentioned.
So you mentioned quite a few things that you mentioned about this process of dejudicialization, meaning that, you know, the judicial system is less involved for sort of more administrative matters. People are going through notaries in Brazil. I mean, it sounds like a good idea because you're quite right that courts are generally really overworked with cases. So anything to get cases out of court is probably a good idea. And and interesting that you've got quite a diverse day. You've got lots of things that you do. And you mentioned there that at the end you were sort of talking about that you're able to do planning tasks for the legal course that you mentioned with the Bar Association. So that's really good. And so I wanted to talk to you about your experience as a pro member, because it's not really something that I talk a lot about on the show. So I thought it could be interesting for listeners to understand it a bit better. You mentioned that, you know, you really like taking the courses to gain certificates. And I've mentioned what the pod courses are and what the certificates are earlier in this interview. But for listeners, if you don't know what the pod courses are, to let you know that there are two main courses. There's one that's Networking for Lawyers, and then the other main course is called the English Legal System. But that particular course is split into six courses. So there's one about the legal profession, there's one about sources of law, there's one about courts and tribunals, there's one about alternative dispute resolution, and then there's one on criminal procedure and one on civil procedure. So there's quite a lot of information there about the English legal system. But even if you're not really interested in the English legal system, it's got quite a lot of legal English vocabulary in there to be able to talk about your own legal system, but using English language. So Hijane, you've taken all of the courses, is that correct?
Yes, yes, literally. I've taken the Networking for Lawyers pod course and then all the modules in the English Legal System pod course.
Great. So yes, I have to say, yeah, you're actually the top pro member in terms of, in the sense that you've completed all of the pod courses. So there's other pro members who've done quite a few of the courses, but no one yet has done all of them as Hijane has done. So congratulations, Hijane. So
thank you.
What's your experience of, you know, as a podcast pro member taking the pod courses?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am a big fan. So I'd like to share with you some of my experience about the pod courses. Firstly, I wanted to take these courses because I wished to improve my career, develop my communication skills in English. As a lawyer, we need to know about other jurisdictions, what's going on in the globalized world. So legal English is a requirement without a doubt. Secondly, my worries at the beginning, when I started studying the first pod course, or some of the biggest challenge that I found were, you know, that feelings, I shouldn't be here, legal English is not for me, it's not my language. I didn't feel confident expressing myself in general English, let alone in legal English. Legal English can be daunting. Mm-hmm. I doubted myself so many times at the beginning. Little by little, my confidence grew and I became more interested due to the quality of the course. And it became a habit to listen to the episodes constantly. And after a short period, I felt comfortable and safe whenever I was studying these courses. I overcame that fear about not belonging. To my mind, even in the first module, it was possible to learn how to overcome obstacles to gain a greater understanding of legal English.
Yeah, I think you mentioned there about, oh, this feeling of like, oh, is this for me? Am I good enough? I think a lot of learners, they do strive for perfection. And it's really important to remember that you have to start somewhere. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, it's the journey, not the destination. Language learning is a process. Yeah. It does mean making mistakes. And then when you make mistakes, you learn from it and you improve. So I think that's a really, you've got a, you know, good attitude towards learning. And what would be your favorite thing about the pod courses?
Oh, the best thing I got of these pod courses is difficult to say. Of course, to receive a certificate from the UK upon completion is an advantage for my CV. And not only is earning the certificates great, but also the whole website is fantastic. I love how you share tips about books, websites to research, and the interviews are amazing. And all those incredible people telling the stories and listening to them is fascinating. I think it's just all about immersing yourself and feeling good, hopefully having a good time in learning something new as well in legal English.
That's good to hear.
Yes, actually, I think the main benefit of your courses, I'd say, are the online activities you provide. it makes the courses very interactive and gives the students numerous opportunities for self-study. And for example, other advantages are that the program is well organized, the texts are well written and have a polished version. You are free to choose the course that suits you better. You can focus on achieving your professional goals. For legal English learners, this course contains vocabulary, grammar, and legal concepts that will help your understanding of common law and civil law systems, history, and case law, to name a few. Furthermore, it will help you if you want to prepare yourself for TOEFL exam, Test of Legal English Skills. Oh, another thing that I'd like to say, the speaking section with Louise is one of my favorite exercises, also known as shadowing technique. This is where you listen to someone speaking and you repeat what they say. You can record yourself. It's fantastic because pronunciation matters. I'd say that you will develop professional and academic experience not only in legal English, but also in your mother language, because the podcasts open doors for you to learn critical thinking about the legal systems.
Thank you for your comments and interesting points there, the things that you like. And I think for people who are preparing for TOLs, on the website, there's a drop down in the menu when you're searching for the podcasts for episodes, which can be helpful for TOLs. It sort of comes back to the certificates as well. Like, it's nice to have some certificates to show that you've progressed in your legal English. The TOLs exam is certainly a helpful certificate to have. And yeah, I mean, you know, you also mentioned about the speaking exercises that you like. So that's good. And that pronunciation matters. And that some of the episodes help you develop critical thinking or learning new things within your own legal system. So I'm glad to hear that. And yeah, clearly you've got a great attitude towards learning. So do you have any advice for other learners, for the listeners out there?
Oh, yes, yes. In my view, important things you need to watch out for are, firstly, keep yourself updated. I mean, make sure you don't let lessons slip. Don't become more than 2 days behind. And review the lessons. We know repetition is the key to learning anything. Secondly, I know we all have different learning styles. This tip might help you. It certainly helps me. I mean, it's my experience and everyone's preferences are different. There's no right or wrong way of learning.
Yeah, good point there about that. Try to sort of keep yourself up to date. Don't let your lessons slip. Like, try to study a little bit. Certainly studying a little bit every day is a very good thing to do. And I know that as a language learner myself, it's really hard to do that. And I'm completely in admiration of your dedication, Hirjana.
Thank you.
You're studying every day. But yeah, it's really, really important to try to do a little bit every day. And hopefully, I mean, at least with the podcast, if you listen to the podcast, if you're commuting to work or whatever, at least you're passively learning, even though you're not maybe actively studying, listening to a bit every day could be helpful.
Yeah, sure. And I just like to mention, Louise, that your podcast, as you are saying, to listen to the podcast while you are commuting, it's a great idea, because for me, my experience, your podcast became my best friend, really. So it's great. I think it's a very nice idea.
So great. Do you have any other comments?
Yeah, for sure. As a result, I'd say that these courses have made my career incredibly rich and rewarding. It is a positive thing for the future. In a nutshell, you, I mean the listeners, will benefit enormously from all legal, practical and academic legal English skills in these both courses, which are fundamental to work within law. This is my little journey about my experience through the pod courses.
Very good. So, Hejane, throughout the episode, you sort of mentioned quite a lot of vocabulary and you also used quite a lot of idioms and phrases. And for listeners, Hejane actually very kindly prepared some definitions and example sentences of these phrases. So we're going to read them. And as listeners, you can, you know, after we've given the definition and the example sentence, you can actually try to use this yourself, try to come up with your own example sentence. So I'm going to give the word and Hijani's going to give the definitions and the example sentences. So let's go. So the first one, number one, an invaluable insight. What does that mean?
Referring to an experience that you gained more knowledge in. Something that was really impactful, that was effective, something that you will remember for a long time. Example, after completing my course, I gained an invaluable insight into the nature of the law and how it relates to communication.
Number two, to give a competitive edge or to give a competitive advantage. What does that mean?
It is something that differentiates you from other candidates. It is something that makes you stand out. It makes you unique. Example, the Study Legal English Certificate gives you competitive edge.
Nice example sentence there. Number three, receptive skills. What are those?
I mean, reading and listening.
And you mentioned also productive skills. What are those?
Oh, it's speaking and writing.
Excellent. So I think you mentioned something like, you know, studying can help with your receptive and productive skills. Okay, number five, at first glance, what does that mean?
When considering something for the first time, before looking at it carefully. Example, the client's contract looked great at first glance, but on closer inspection, I could see more problems.
So number six. Every cloud has a silver lining. What does that mean?
Used for emphasizing that there are also good things in bad situation. Example, with this COVID situation, we have to look for the silver lining, for benefits.
Number seven, let alone. What does that mean?
Used between two negative statements to show that the second statement is even more impossible than the first. Example, she can't speak in English, let alone legal English.
Number eight, daunting. What does that mean?
To seem difficult to deal with or intimidating. Example, giving a presentation in English can be daunting.
Number nine, to my mind. What does that mean?
Used for highlighting that you are expressing your own opinion. Example, to my mind. For legal English learners, Study Legal English website is for you.
Good. So number 10, case law. What's that?
In common law systems, case law refers to law made by the courts. Precedent is a synonym. Example, when I prepare for a case, I have to check case law.
So number 11, everyone is in the same boat. I remember you using that one. What does that mean?
To be in the same situation as someone else. Example, at a networking event, there will be lots of people in the same boat as you. They may be a little nervous and English won't be their first language.
Good. Okay. And number 12, the world is my oyster. What does that mean?
Oh, it's a phrase popularized by Shakespeare in the play Merry Wives of Windsor, meaning that you can do whatever you want. Example, now I've graduated, the world is my oyster.
Good. So that's the end of that vocabulary section. So for listeners, you can try to make your own example sentences there. So thank you, Hijani. So we're coming to the end of the episode. So what are your next plans? What does the future hold for you?
Oh, so what I am going to do next? I am excited about this new phase with Legal English. The world is my oyster. And let me tell you, Louise, not for a minute did I doubt the potential of your courses. I'm really proud to have taken part in these incredible courses, and I strongly recommend them. So thank you, Louise Kubiski. Your podcast means more to me than I can express. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Hajani. Thank you. So listeners, if you are interested in the pod courses, you can access them for free. You can just listen to the episodes in the pod courses. If you go to studylegalenglish.com/courses, you can find them. Of course, if you want to become a pro member to be able to get these certificates, then you can go to studylegalenglish.com/pricing and you'll find all of the information there. Also, if you want to get in touch with Hajane, if you want to connect with Hajane, you can find her on LinkedIn. Her full name is Hajane Gurski. That's R-E-G-I-A-N-E and Gurski, which is G-U-R-S-K-I. Of course, I'll leave a link in the show notes. So that brings us to the end. So thank you, Hajane. Thank you. It was really super interesting to listen to your experience.
Thank you, Louise.
Great. So that's the end of this episode. I hope you found it useful and learned something new. Make sure you join me next week where I'm going to be sharing some top podcasts for learning legal English. Of course, if you're a member, head over to studylegalenglish.com/episode121 for all your member benefits. And if you're thinking of becoming a member, go to studylegalenglish.com/pricing. Any links mentioned in the show will be in the show notes, and they'll also be over there on my website page. So that's studylegalenglish.com/episode121. If you want extra tips about studying legal English, about learning legal English, about legal English vocabulary, I recommend you follow me on Instagram. My account is @LegalEnglisher. Or join my Facebook group. Just search for the Study Legal English group on Facebook, if social media is not your thing. But you'd like to stay informed on my news, tips and discounts and offers, then be sure to sign up to my newsletter. You can sign up at studylegalenglish.com/news. And when you do so at that particular link, you'll get 2 free gifts. That is my SMART Goals Toolkit, which is a great toolkit for setting out your legal English goals and keeping you motivated and on target to reaching and achieving your goals. And secondly, you'll get some motivational laptop backgrounds and phone wallpapers that you can set on your phone to keep you motivated to keep learning legal English. Come on, you can do it. You can certainly improve your legal English, and I'm here to keep you motivated all along the way. So that link again is studylegalenglish.com/news. So thanks for listening and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Study Legal English podcast. If you really want to get ahead, why not become a member and gain access to many learning resources? Visit studylegalenglish.com/pricing.